black Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabronis. You gotta fight for your right to party.
Mundo.
You mean to tell me that this balloon was floating over Missouri how many hours on Friday afternoon and nobody in this state shot it down? Not a single one of you shot this thing down. I have never been so disappointed. Never been so disappointed. 5767710 is how you join us on KCMO Talk Radio. Happy Monday morning. It's great to be here as we kick off another show. I was watching and listening to so much of this after we got off the air on Friday morning, and that's when it really got good. That's when you had this balloon floating around Missouri for hours on end, and we had caller after caller after caller to Chris DeGaulle saying, I see it, I got a beat on it. In fact, you had one guy call in as vigilante, and I don't know, this guy, he had this thing lined up. He was ready to roll on Friday.
This is Vigilante Justice. I've got a bead right now on that Chinese spy weather balloon. My bottle rocket is ready. I'm going to light it. There it goes.
At least we had one vigilante on the scene on Friday morning. Jeez. Now, in all seriousness, where are we with this balloon? Well, of course, it was shut down. It was shot down off the coast of South Carolina on Saturday. But if you look back at the timeline of this whole thing, this is anytime you want to figure out where the holes are in an argument, anytime you want to figure out who's telling the truth, you just have to look at the timeline and ask yourself, does the timeline match up with what is being said? We were told over the weekend that one of the reasons this thing could not get shot down over Montana or anywhere over the continental U.S. for that matter was because, well, you know, we didn't want to hurt anybody on the ground. I mean, this balloon was apparently the size of three school buses. So it's like a big old helium balloon that the Chinese are spying on us with. And, you know, they had this point out there of, well, we don't want anybody to get hurt. So, we're going to wait. We're going to wait till it gets over a body of water. Well, the more we learn about this, the more we know that that's not really what actually happened. Apparently, President Biden was briefed about this on Tuesday when it was off the coast of Alaska. You heard that right. It was over body of water, a.k.a. the Pacific Ocean, when Joe Biden was briefed about this balloon on Tuesday. And there was clearly no plan to tell the American people about this Chinese spy balloon that was heading our way. How did this thing get uncovered? Well, late on Wednesday, local media in Billings, Montana, started to point out, hey, we got this balloon and here's what's going on. And hey, by the way, local media actually doing its job. See, when local media is actually being effective and not doing what the Kansas City Star does, which is just preach left-wing propaganda, local media is very effective and very good at its job and has an important role in every single community. So Billings, Montana local media started picking this up. And then all of a sudden on Friday, it became a national story. I mean, we get in here Friday morning, get on the air at 6. And by then, you know, the whole nation was talking about this thing. But local media in Billings knew about it Wednesday, and they published a picture of it on Thursday afternoon. If this balloon had not been noticed by enough members of the public that it was then reported by the press, here's what was set to happen on Friday. Anthony Blinken was set to go to China. You're hearing that right. The American Secretary of State was set to go to China and glad hand in Beijing this past weekend. While the U.S. government fully knew that at that point in the middle of the week, last week, they had these spy balloons that were headed towards the United States. And until the American press actually found out about it, started reporting on it, and doing its job, it's pretty obvious that Blinken was all set to go to China in the middle of this while they got balloons overhead, Well, they got vigilante in Northwest Missouri trying to shoot the darn thing down. Put that into perspective. Look at the timeline. The timeline always tells the story here. So it's amazing when you actually put the pieces of this puzzle together how completely embarrassing this is for the people in charge. But of course, they've got to, you know, put their spin on this thing over the weekend, right? After this thing was found in Montana, it was floating over Missouri for most of the midday on Friday, and then it ends up off the coast of South Carolina, and finally they shoot this thing down. And then the guy in charge is looking for a pat on the back over this thing. That's right. You better believe it. Here was the president over the weekend when he was asked about taking down the balloon.
On Wednesday, when I was briefed on the balloon, I ordered the Pentagon to shoot it down on Wednesday as soon as possible. They decided, without doing damage to anyone on the ground, they decided that the best time to do that was as it got over water outside within 12-mile limit. They successfully took it down.
Ah, yes, that's me. Ah, flex. Ooh, gosh. That's Big Sexy right there, Joe Biden, flexing his muscles after the balloon crossed over, you know, thousands of miles of American lands, gathered who knows what information. But don't worry, shot it down once it made its cross-country trip and got what it needed. Joe took care of that. He took care of that thing in one piece. Don't you worry about that. It's amazing, too, because, you know, on Friday, what was our initial reaction? Shoot it! Shoot the thing down! And what did the media say at the time? Oh, don't do that. Oh, that's an act of aggression. Don't you do that. And then literally, what, one day later, the balloon gets shot down and the media, oh, boy, what a tough guy. What a strong man we've got in the White House. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I mean, we can have fun with this all day, and we should, because if you don't point out the absurdity, if you don't occasionally laugh at the absurdity, then you're just going to drive yourself crazy. Yeah, seriously, you're going to go nuts. So you got to laugh at it. But at the same time, while we can also laugh at it and we should laugh at it, we should also point out that this is another sign that the worst people on the planet, talking about Russia and China, have absolutely zero respect for this administration. Not an ounce of respect for this administration. And that's the theme that continues to pop up time and time again. Whether it's Ukraine, Russia, balloons floating over the top, whatever it might be, there is not an ounce of respect for the people in charge right now. And I don't want that, and it shouldn't come off. I know some of you are going to say, oh, that's just being a partisan. I'm not trying to be partisan. That's just reading the facts. That's just reading the room, right? That's all that is. It's reading the room. And if you can't read that room, and maybe the bias is actually on your end. 5767710 as we kick it off on a Monday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. It's great to be here with you. We've got, obviously, it's Super Bowl week, so we're going to talk to Kendall Gammon 1 hour from now. We've got the Super Bowl program. Yes, the official program we are going to be giving away on this show as well. Coming up here, we'll get to you, but also, why are the people in charge not more popular? I'll give you their answer, which is a real stunner, coming up next. You guys are funny on the text line. That's pretty good on a Monday morning. Pete, old Joe waited so long to shoot down the balloon because he wanted to wait till the check cleared from China. Well, that's very good. That is well done all around. Very nice job. Oh, boy, Pete, the president speaks loudly, carries a small stick. Yes, that is well said. But here's the thing. You know, I keep trying to decipher the story from the standpoint of why wait? And not only why wait, and this is the ultimate kick in the crotch when it comes to this country. This Secretary of State of this administration was scheduled to be in Beijing this past weekend when they knew last Tuesday that this balloon was floating over U.S. territory and was heading this way. It was off the coast of Alaska last Tuesday. It made its way to Missouri by the middle of the day on Friday. I mean, the calls from Friday, Mark was running Stegall's show, and the calls from Friday were out of this world.
It was like spotters.
It was. It was great. It was literally like it brought me back to my days of doing tornado coverage in Oklahoma. When I'd either be in the studio or I'd have a guy, you know, out on the streets. I think I see it down there coming up Highway 7. Oh, boy, it's turning to the east. Heads up there, Winoka. It's heading your way. Oh, boy, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You guys were good about that. Mike's in Kansas City. What's up, Mike?
I'll tell you exactly why they waited to shoot it down. For one thing, it had to complete its mission of crossing the United States. The second reason was when it fell over the ocean, only deep-sea naval or retrieval things can get the evidence. If they shot the thing over Montana, it would have gone into a field. The Montana National Guard could have gotten in there and gotten the information, and it would have essentially compromised the Chinese spy apparatus if people got their stuff. So, you know, Biden, you know, holding true to his masters who were paying him and his son for their paintings, let the thing go over the ocean before it went through. Do you remember General Milley in 2020 saying that he was going to alert the Chinese if the Americans were planning an invasion?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You know, I got a feeling there's a lot of people in this country that if the Chinese invaded, they'd be greeting them with flowers the same way the Vichy French were greeting the invading Germans in 1940. It's scary. I think, you know,
Mike,
we're all
listen,
laughing at this, which is funny, but this is scary.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you got to have some fun with it, Mike, because it is ridiculous. But you're right. It is, at its core, wildly concerning. You're absolutely right. And I think there are some people who are of that mindset. And then when you talk about, you know, why wait to get over the ocean, maybe it is that. Maybe they didn't want somebody else to get their hands on whatever, you know, was inside of this balloon, whatever information was over this balloon. That's not impossible, John.
Well, you got a hard enough time getting Chad Henne's first playoff touchdown ball back, let alone, you know, this.
I got it. How much you got?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Right?
Could you imagine? It's on my field.
It's over there behind the bull. You can go ahead and get it if you want.
Dave in Overland Park. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, good morning. You know, a couple weeks ahead of time, Biden received money. It came out that Hunter Biden and Joe received money from China. I think China can blackmail Biden. I think they've got a little bit of control of Biden. And I think people need to military commander-in-chief.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the connection, obviously, Dave, between China and most notably, of course, Hunter Biden is incredibly concerning. Now, Joe's role in that remains to be seen, but we're not going to be naive here on a Monday morning and not admit that it certainly factors in the part of the conversation. You bring up excellent points to kick off a Monday. No doubt about it. And that was my first thought as well. I mean, if the guy does have more of a relationship with China than meets the eye, because I don't just want to start assuming things. Obviously, there's a lot of smoke there. No doubt there's a lot of smoke there. But we haven't put all the pieces together yet to have the full-blown fire. So now we're trying to figure out, okay, how does that factor into decision-making from the White House? And to do the tough guy song and dance on Saturday, Sunday, after the thing was shot down, it's like, come on. You let this thing do who knows what, floating across the country, and you want a round of applause? You want us to all get up and say, oh, my goodness, these guys, oh, how impressive. They are so powerful on the world stage. You really think that that is what the American people are going to buy? That's pretty unbelievable stuff. I know that, you know, they think we're a bunch of lemmings, but even by the standards of them, it's pretty naive to think that we're all just going to say, oh, they got it. They shot it down. Oh, boy, that's, I don't know what we do without Dark Brandon. Oh, that's impressive stuff. I'm not buying that for a second. No way. Not a chance. Now, something else, of course, big week ahead. Because tomorrow you got the State of the Union, right? So it is going to be a very busy week. You've got this as the backdrop here. So now you got the State of the Union taking place tomorrow. And you've got a president whose poll numbers have not budged. Now, Republicans can't really brag about it because, frankly, they haven't really done a better job capitalizing on it. They're their own worst enemy on a lot of things as well. I mean, Republicans can point out Joe's low approval rating, but Republicans have zero credibility because the approval rating was just as bad in November, and the American people admitted in every poll they don't really care for Joe or his leadership, but they did not reward your party. So Republicans walking around, whether it's this week, last week, whatever, but with the State of the Union tomorrow, saying, oh, President Biden, he's getting set for the State of the Union. Oh, he's so unpopular. Yeah, and you guys really aren't popular either because you couldn't take advantage of it during the midterms back in November. So that's the interesting backdrop here. Republicans can scream about his unpopularity all they want, but in politics, you have a binary choice. And all you have to be is more popular than your opponent. You can still be unpopular. You just have to be more popular than your opponent. That's it. And unfortunately, you had a situation where too many Democrats were more popular than their opponent, despite the fact that, you know, Biden's an unpopular president. So now they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we improve this whole thing? Well, how do we get to the point where not only are we maybe more popular, how do we get to the point where people actually want to go out there and vote for us? What do we have to do? How do we sell this agenda? Well, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, yes, Mayor Pete, Transportation Secretary, was on Meet the Press over the weekend, and take a listen to what he had to say regarding the popularity of the president and how they can try to get him into the good graces of the American people.
He's got a lot of things to tout. Why do you think that it has not penetrated the American public?
Look, these things don't sell themselves, and it's one of the reasons I'm really looking forward to that State of the Union address. I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
You heard that right. You heard that right. There have been so many successes from this White House, from this presidency. It can be difficult to list them in a distilled way. You've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. They think that you are so dumb that you just don't realize how much good they've done for you. You don't realize, John, how much work this president has done for you and your family.
It's hard to distill because if you put it through that process, it would be evaporated. Down to nothing. The nail set, the big goose egg.
That's right. That's exactly right. 5767710. I know. That'll make you feel warm and fuzzy as you get it going on a Monday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. Great to be here with you. So coming up, the Royals are still talking about this downtown stadium. And I'm just sitting here saying, when are you going to give us the juice? Stop talking. Start showing. That's next. I mean, we sat through three listening tours as the Royals make their pitch to you, the voter, to move downtown. And I continue to be incredibly underwhelmed. But I saw that Channel 9 KMBC had an exclusive of sorts with owner John Sherman. And I thought, oh, great. Maybe one of the local TV stations will actually be able to get some more information out of the Kansas City Royals about their plans and wanting to build a downtown ballpark and what they're asking from you, the taxpayer. Maybe we'd get a little more information from them on this. But nope, not the case. Not the case at all. In fact, it was anything but that. It was just more platitudes, more nice, pretty words, and not a lot of information. Here was the report over the weekend. Channel 9 KMBC talked to John Sherman amidst this entire listening tour the team's been going on trying to pitch you on why they need a downtown ballpark, but you did not hear what you wanted to hear over the weekend.
Some activity on the Royals side of the Truman Sports Complex today as the Royals hosted their first ever Royals rally. This is going to be a difference from Fan Fest. Remember
That's Matt Evans in the wind tunnel outside of Kauffman Stadium. It's like, gosh, when did we get to the point of TV reporters shooting, you know, videos on their phones with the wind? Thanks, Matt. it's not his fault. He's just doing his job.
Speak my no outside.
Yeah. I'm going to start broadcasting next to 435 and see how that goes.
And fast back at Bartle Hall, Royals players came in. Well, something similar here. Royals still signing autographs, still talking about the upcoming season, but kind of gives you a preview of the upcoming season at Kauffman Stadium as well. But while this is all happening inside Kauffman Stadium, Royals owner John Sherman also addressing the new plans for a downtown ballpark.
To securing the future part of it, I think that project is probably the most important thing that we'll do during this time we have the privilege of being steward of this franchise. It is a huge, huge decision.
Sherman didn't offer.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Any further details today than the Royals have over the course of the past three listening sessions, saying the earliest that a downtown ballpark would be built will be 2027 or 2028. In Kansas City, Matt Evans, KBC 9 News.
Okay. Matt Evans from the wind tunnel outside of Kauffman Stadium on Channel 9. But, you know, I'm listening to what John Sherman said there, and he's talking about that being the most important project that they do while they're stewards of the franchise. And that sounds good. And obviously what he's talking about is the business element of baseball. But you as a fan, what do you think? Like, if you were to say, what do you want your owner to be the most focused on right now? What do you think the job is of the owners of a baseball franchise? Oh, I don't know. Novel concept here. How about winning baseball games? Call me crazy.
Talk about a bombshell.
But I would think that the most important thing that any owner of a franchise can be involved with is winning baseball games. Now, you can sit there and say, well, Pete, you know, you got to get this new downtown ballpark to potentially make more money to then spend it on the team and win baseball games. I don't know. We're less than a decade removed from the World Series here in Kansas City, back-to-back, winning one of them. Right? I mean, yeah, so that really doesn't work out too well. That doesn't necessarily make the pitch that you're trying to make, as far as I can tell. But that line to me was kind of a turnoff, because I'm sitting here and thinking, okay, I want my baseball owner to be really focused on the idea of winning games, not worried about whether or not you're going to get apartments and office space and restaurants as part of a ballpark village outside of a new downtown stadium, and then asking the taxpayer for hundreds of millions of dollars to build the actual stadium itself, because that's what appears to be going on here. They've got a $2 billion project. $1 billion is going to be spent on this ballpark village. Think of it Power and Light 2.0, Power and Light Light, no pun intended there, of what they're trying to build with office space and everything else. And then they're going to say to you, the taxpayer, hey, can we get hundreds of millions of dollars to build the actual stadium itself? Because they've said they put forth about $1 billion to build the village outside of the stadium. That's what they've said. And it's like, okay, I understand that you guys want the amenities. I understand that's good for you from a business perspective. But explain to the fan, and this is what they have failed miserably at doing during this listening tour over the last few weeks, where the Royals ownership group has gone around to parts of Kansas City and Jackson County and tried to pitch the idea of a downtown stadium. Not only have they not been transparent, as we talked about a lot last week, they have not been transparent. We know that. They have not explained to you why this is a worthy investment of your tax dollars. There was a quote here from John Sherman in the piece on the KMBC 9 website, where he says, quote, regarding the listening sessions, that was the first step, go to the public first, and now we're starting the phase of talking to the political leaders. Well, you didn't go to the public and sell them on anything. You didn't even tell the public what you're asking for. All you did was go to the public and say, look at these big, shiny, beautiful pictures of downtown stadiums. Don't you want one? Well, what does it cost? I don't know. Where's it going to be? Not really sure. But don't you want it? Well, that's not really how it works. That's not how life works. You walk into a car dealership, you're looking for a used car, and someone says, hey, I can give you this Tesla, or I can give you a 15-year-old, Toyota Camry. Which one do you want? Well, what's the price? I can't tell you. I'm not going to tell you. Well, a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, I guess I'll take a brand new Tesla. Oh, yeah, that one? That one's like 70 grand. What's the Camry? 7. Okay, well, that kind of impacts what exactly it is we're trying to accomplish here. And they have failed at every turn. And I say that as somebody that wants to root for this ownership group, that has friendships with this ownership group, not personally, but mutual friends with John Sherman and other folks in the ownership group, I want to get out there and outwardly support them. I would be willing to do that in the right scenario, in the right situation. But I believe they've made a mockery of this process thus far. I believe that they have not been straight with you, the taxpayer. They have not been forthright with you, the taxpayer. And as a result, if they're going to leave you in the dark, but then flash these big shiny photos in your face and say, oh, aren't these pictures so pretty? Yeah, okay. But you've got to give me a little more juice. You got to give me a little more on the detail side. John in Grain Valley, what's up, John? Good morning.
Good morning. You're always a great way to get into work to get the blood flowing and the brain cramping. But anyway, you and I both know, as much as we want to talk about this, debate, discuss, exchange ideas, yada, 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 the deal is done. All they're doing is checking some boxes. They're going to say, well, look, we put it out for comment. We did all these wonderful things. Oh, the stadium is done. And that's the frustrating part about it, that, you know, you play the game like, oh, yeah, we want your opinion. We want your participation. Your opinion and your input values and matters to us. Not really, because we're going to drop a $1 billion project where we want to, because the political machines know the amount of revenue that's going to bring in just in construction, just in all those things, maintenance, all those jobs. And here we are. And in the end, the taxpayers are going to foot this bill. And oh, by the way, that bill is going to go on a shoe, which is going to go on a foot. That's going to go so far up, you know, and that's in the end, that's it. And that's the frustrating part. It happens locally, and it happens at the federal level. You know, we want your input. But, oh, by the way, we've already made our decision because, you know, we're smarter than you.
Mm-hmm. John, I understand your pessimism, man, and great call. I got your blood boiling, John, so I guess I did my job, buddy. Well said. This thing will have to still be voted on by the taxpayer. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe the political machines in Kansas City and Jackson County will do what needs to be done through, persuading the public on why this is a good idea. Maybe you're right. But I still think that there's a lot of things that have to be figured out here. And I don't believe it's nearly as much of a done deal as you. I'm not as pessimistic as you are on this, John. I don't blame you for having it. I totally understand your perspective on how you got to that conclusion. But there's a lot that still has to be accomplished here. Either Jackson County or Kansas City are going to have to vote on this, depending on how they break it all down. And then also, they may very well ask the state of Missouri for money. And that's going to be involved with state lawmakers. That's going to be a tall, tall ask. So be watching that as well, because we'll see what our state lawmakers in Jeff City decide to ultimately do here on this. Pete Mundo on KCMO. You know, I really do feel bad on a Monday morning from our business owner friends in Westport. They're just trying to run restaurants and run bars, and every couple of months, there's a shooting. Somebody gets killed there early in the morning, late at night, and it hurts them. So you had another incident early Friday morning. We told you about it on Friday. And we got a little more details over the weekend. Victim who was shot in the 500 block of Westport Road, that is in the World Market parking lot, Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue. The victim identified as Alana Collier, a 20-year-old black female. It's like, you know, the police department always sends out, obviously, these memos to those of us in the media, you know, when something like this happens, when somebody gets killed. And then they tell you the age of the person and, you know, skin color, sex, everything else. And when I see a birth date, 8/31/2002, like your heart just sinks. You've got a woman who wasn't even 21 years old who's killed over some altercation in the World Market parking lot in the early morning hours of Friday. Like, it's just, it's so disturbing and so depressing when you see the ages of these young people. How does it even come to that? So, you know, obviously, first off, you're thinking about the family of this 20-year-old. And then I also think about the businesses in Westport, right? Because I talked to a business owner over the weekend. And what this business owner told me is that anytime something like this happens in Westport, and unfortunately, there's been too many of these incidents over the last few years, they see a 25% dip in revenues in business for 2 to 3 months because the public obviously sees the story. The public has way too many options today. They don't have to go to Westport for anything. You can get good food. You can go to a bar somewhere else around town, and it hurts business there for 2 to 3 months. So now you've got business owners who are doing everything they can to keep the lights on. You know, they're dealing with inflation when it comes to labor costs and food costs. They're still trying to dig out of COVID. And now, of course, you know, they have somebody else murdered in the early morning hours in Westport, and it hurts them from a business perspective. But I also think about this from the standpoint of everything that Westport has done as a community to try to be a safe and welcoming place, right? They've got metal detectors during the summer, on weekends, in and around Westport. Like, you got to walk through a metal detector to get into Westport. Now, I won't go back. Kate and I won't go back. It's just, I don't know. It's not special enough to justify walking through metal detectors to go to a restaurant. That's just me, though. And I'm just being honest with you. I feel bad that I say that for the business owners there because I'm sure there are places I would like to try. But I'm not going out on a weekend with my wife walking through a metal detector to go to dinner. I'm just not doing it. Like, I don't have to go to that restaurant that badly. I'm sorry, I don't. But Westport, to its credit, has done everything it can to try to make itself a safe and welcoming place. And it still has failed. Right? You had somebody last summer shot and killed early morning hours. You had this incident at the World Market early Friday morning. Young woman shot and killed. And here's where I know some of the Westport business owners are bothered. And they have every right to be bothered by this. And we've covered this story better than anybody in town, and I say that confidently. Westport businesses spent $80,000 last summer for civil rights monitors. What does that mean? They are required to give this company, this organization, Ad Hoc, they are required to give this Ad Hoc group against crime basically $80,000 to have monitors, civil rights monitors, at the check-ins to walk through the metal detectors at Westport. That's what they have. $80,000 to basic here, and let's just cut through the nonsense here. Basically, what this is paying off a social justice group in town. That's what they're doing. They're paying off a social justice group in Kansas City. And they put these people there at the metal detectors to make sure there's no racism going on when people are walking through metal detectors to go out in Westport. Now, tell me how. I'm not pretending to be a rocket scientist here. Tell me how a metal detector can be inherently racist. I've been through a lot of metal detectors, going on airplanes, going to Chiefs games, Royals games, whatever it might be. Explain to me how a metal detector can be racist, and why you would then need $80,000 in civil rights monitors to watch these metal detectors, John, to make sure they're not racist. Can you help me with that?
I don't know. Did you go through one at a Springsteen concert, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Went to T-Mobile Center?
Yeah, of course.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you what, everybody of every skin color has to go through those metal detectors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're a white guy. You don't have to go through it. No, we all go through it. That's kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's never been, in the hundreds of metal detectors I've gone through for events, they've never said, hey, Pete, you're white. You come over here. Don't worry about the detector, man. You're good. In fact, it always seems like a TSA pre-check, especially, it's the 80-year-old grandma who gets, you know, pulled over. Ah, sorry, lady. We've got to go through all your bags and we've got to strip search you and the whole thing. You're lucky number 98. Literally, as the lady's 98 years old. It's funny how that seems to always be the case. So you've got, over the last five summers, Westport businesses have spent $500,000 on this ad hoc group and its air quotes civil rights monitors. They are paying off a social justice group in town because the city council basically forced them to, if they wanted to have their own security to keep their own sidewalks as safe as they can at Westport. Now, of course, where these shootings take place is outside of the area that's actually, you know, guarded off. That's how it always happens now. You've just basically pushed the violence of the early morning hours somewhere else. But what if these Westport businesses could have spent the $80,000 or over the last 5 years, the $500,000 on more security, on extra patrols for like when the bars all let out, right? The bars all let out at a certain time. What if they were able to hire, instead of having $80,000 last summer tied up in nonsense, what if they could spread their security out over the year? What if they could say, hey, we're going to have more security year round. We're going to have more people patrolling when the bars let out to make sure there's no nonsense taking place. What if they could do that? How many more resources could they have instead of just dumping $500,000 the last 5 years into a social justice group because City Hall twisted their arm to do it? Of course, that's not going to get talked about by the mayor's office. And said the mayor, what Quentin Lucas said on Twitter last week is that he wants to instead make sure there's more lighting and that they close off the parking lot. I'm pretty sure if you're willing to kill a young woman in the early morning hours in Westport, you're not too concerned about necessarily whether or not that parking lot is officially closed to the public or not. Like, I think we're missing the broader point here. At least he didn't make it about the guns, but, you know, I won't go off on that tangent right now. But these business owners down in Westport have put their money where their mouth is, and the city still has tried to hose them at every turn. The city has still tried to say, hey, pay off the people that we want you to pay off appropriately at every turn. And I'm not saying this young woman's life would have been saved. I'm not saying that any of the murders that have taken place in the last couple of years would have necessarily not happened. But I do know this, and I do feel pretty confident in saying there would be a better chance they could prevent it if those resources could have been used for proper security instead of having random people sitting there collecting checks as civil rights monitors, which is the ultimate all-time scam. And it's hurting people and business owners here in Westport, and it's resulting in more bad publicity for Kansas City at large. It's a bad deal all around. What's a good deal is our friend Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality. He's going to be here just after 8 o'clock, as he is twice a month on Monday mornings. Talk to him about the jobs report that came out on Friday, what that means for the economy at large, and for you, the employee, in today's environment. Coming up every Monday morning, the good, the bad, and the ugly as we approach 8 o'clock. We'll do that next on KCMO Talk Radio. It's a Monday morning as we roll towards 8 o'clock on KCMO Talk Radio. Start of Super Bowl week. How about that? And that means plenty of bad sports radio as they sit there on Radio Row and listen to, you know, washed up NFL players pitch their latest protein shakes. So it's a great time to be over on KCMO, John, isn't it?
That can be a little taxing, can it? You're waiting for guests. You see them coming. They got everybody in line, literally, right?
Yeah.
And you're all sitting there next to each other trying not to. Well, some guys, anyway. Have you ever been by the Bozo? Hey, ha, ha. Yeah. Just real loud.
Oh,
the whole
gosh.
Thing.
The worst. Like, the on, worst. Yeah. The worst. And then it's like, let's hear Emmitt Smith pitch his new shampoo for 8 minutes and then get 1 minute on a Super Bowl prediction. So
Troy Polamalu, never not working.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's that time of the week. Let's roll it.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly on KCMO Talk Radio.
It's brought to you by Frontier Justice. Enjoy the faith, family, and freedom with two locations in the Kansas City area, in Lee Summit and at the Legends in Kansas City, Kansas. Or visit frontier-justice.com.
Okay, the good. We've got that gas range in the House before Joe Biden can ban the gas ranges. We've got it in. We swapped out the electric over the last couple of weeks. Kate was cooking on the gas over the weekend. Oh, my goodness, she was thrilled. She was fired up. She was ready. So you know what, Joe? You want to come get this gas range? You're going to have to pry it from my wife's cold, dead hands there, big fella.
You got one of those Ocean's 11 laser beam security systems set up around it, right?
Got ring doorbells in every corner of the house. I'm watching you, Joe.
Come on, man.
You want to come take that gas range out of the house? We just, you know, for years we've had the electric in there, and I've been hearing about it for 4 years. Finally got around to it, and I should have done it 2 years ago.
This weekend, our electric one was taking a while to heat up when I was thinking about the gas stove. So I was like, yeah, maybe I need to get a gas stove.
I got the guys. Now, you gotta get the gas line in there. You got to get the electrician in there, but it is well worth it. Wife's going to be happy, Mark. She'll be thrilled. And I think, you know, Mark cooks as well, so you're going to be a happy guy, too. Everyone's going to be happy, except for Joe, of course. And Mayor Pete's not going to like it either. He's not going to be a big fan of the gas stove as he's flying private jets all over the country. But either way, gas stove is in. Happy wife, happy life. And we're moving on there, John. The bad out of the weekend. So I did this to myself last night, and why, I don't know. I guess because it's partially my job. I watched about 5 minutes of the Grammys, and I don't know why. I mean, I don't know. I thought Will Smith, like, might show up and slap somebody in the face, or I don't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I said, let me just watch this thing for 5 minutes. It was probably 8:30 last night, so it's halfway through the show or whatever. And literally in 5 minutes, here's the nonsense I saw in 5 minutes. I saw a bunch of propaganda around why Lizzo being fat and being proud of her fatness is a good thing for the American people. It literally, here's what happened. They were arguing who should be Artist of the Year. And it was like 10 random people sitting around a table. And this one lady who is overweight says, you know, Lizzo empowers me to feel good about myself. And I'm like, okay, listen, I'm not going to shame you. But like, we're in this place now where if someone's unhealthy, maybe instead of the old days where we used to either help them or try to help them see the light to help themselves, we've gone from that point to now just not saying anything to say, boy, yeah, you look great. That's where we're at right now. And if we don't do that, you're like fat phobic or something. No. I just won't say anything. I'll be totally polite. I'm not going to be a jerk to you. That wouldn't be the right thing to do. But I'm not going to celebrate being unhealthy. And the argument that was being made in this random roundtable of people for Lizzo to be Artist of the Year wasn't about the music, which was bizarre to me, too. Like, isn't this an award based on who produces the best music? That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, not since 1958. I don't
think, that was just like, who's the most woke and how do you determine who the most woke is? Mm-hmm. And they get the Artist of the Year award. So you had that. You had this other artist people were making the case for, Brandi Carlile. I don't know who she is, but they were like, a champion of the LGBTQIA+ division sign exclamation point group. I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with the music? Sell me on the music, please. So that was bizarre. It was like this 2-minute roundtable of people arguing who should be Artist of the Year, not actually based on their music. That rolled into Madonna, who literally looked like an alien. Madonna, I don't know what kind of Botox and fillers she has gotten, but Madonna looked like a creature from another planet on stage last night. And I think they purposely didn't get too close to her face because she looked horrible. And behind her, they had pictures of her from, you know, her younger days. And I'm like, that literally doesn't look like the same person, John.
I was channel surfing. I thought it was Keith Richard of Alex Stone on there. So, I mean, Lil Nas were on. I thought, oh, it must be Keith.
I mean, Madonna looked, and her lips and face, nothing could move. It was ridiculous. And then that led into this bizarre, satanic performance by Sam Smith, who I think is like non-binary or something like that. He's one of the hot artists right now, I think. And he's like dressed in a leather, I don't know what it was, like leather overalls. And like, you know, it was like a Battle of the Bulge up there on stage. It was the strangest thing I was looking at. I'm like, what am I watching? And I watched, it was probably 6.5 minutes I watched, and I said, my goodness, this is terrible. I miss the old days of the Grammys when the most controversial thing was like Kanye West stealing Taylor Swift's microphone. Now it's just, now it's legitimately a freak show. I don't understand what it is, but it was brutal.
I saw people making fun of Coldplay, and I didn't even turn it on. I like Coldplay. I don't care. You can make fun of me. That's fine.
I like Coldplay, too. I've actually seen him in concert. I would have watched that.
Yeah.
Jeez, I must have missed that part. Well, 6 minutes was plenty for me. That was the bad from the weekend. The ugly. Jim Clyburn, South Carolina congressman, goes on TV and makes the case for why Joe Biden should be reelected as he's 80 years old. Take a listen to this.
What do you say to the folks who say, you know, the guy is too old? Is age, should age be...
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
A consideration, or is his record and tenure in the Oval Office right now the thing that folks should focus their attention on?
Everything should be considered, but what is controlling is what you have to do. I have seen a lot of 72-year-olds not as capable as this 80-year-old.
Oh, hey, wait, oh, say that again. Wait, say that again. You've got to be kidding me. The case that Jim Clyburn just made for Joe Biden to be potentially reelected is, I have, and this was on MSNBC, I have seen a lot of 72-year-olds not as capable of this 80-year-old. Yeah, I mean, sad to say, a lot of people don't make it to 72. So maybe those are the ones, right, who aren't as competent as Joe.
Not setting the bar very high there, was he?
No, he didn't say 62. He didn't say 52.
Yeah, right?
He might as well have said, I've seen a lot of 79-year-olds as not as capable as this 80-year-old. I mean, this is horrible.
Was that your tallest midget argument there,
yeah.
I think?
Oh, right. I think so.
Yeah.
What a terrible, terrible case to make on behalf of Joe running in 2024. You should see some of the 72-year-olds I see at the nursing. Oh, my goodness, they're looking terrible. Joe Spry compared to the 72-year-olds at the local nursing home. Jim, people want a little more in their president. Like saying that the president's better than your 72-year-old in the local nursing home isn't the pitch that you think it is. 8:35 on a Monday morning. Good to be here on KCMO Talk Radio, starting off a new week. John Kincaid, Philadelphia talk show host, top of the hour. We're going to rib him a little bit, get you set for that Super Bowl coming up this weekend, what to know about what's happening in Philadelphia and what the mindset is over there, outside of, you know, being a bunch of lunatics, which is a on-brand mindset for that town. But anyway, speaking of lunatics, the people in charge of this country want you to believe that they handled this situation with this Chinese spy balloon beautifully, perfectly, couldn't have done a better job. You know what's amazing? And this is something that should be noted and I think got lost in this story. The only reason we even know about this balloon is because of local media in Billings, Montana. Local media has had a rough go of it the last 15 years or so, right? 20 years, newspapers especially. But this is when local journalism is really at its best. Billings, Montana media published this story on Thursday about this balloon. That's what made this a national story. Like, think about if our local media here in Kansas City focused on things like that instead of whatever the woke agenda of the day was to write about in the Kansas City Star. That'd be pretty compelling media, John.
Well, and to your point, I think Seattle or Portland are further west than Billings, so perhaps it went right by them. Oh, nothing to see here.
Yeah. I'm sure in Seattle they were like, this is great. People are now transporting themselves through helium balloons. They're saving the planet one balloon ride at a time.
So steampunk.
Yeah. So this story is never known. Like, national media jumped on it after Billings, Montana media made it a story. We don't know about this balloon if it's not for local media in Billings, Montana. It's really a case for local media doing its job. Not fluffing up the nonsense that we get about, you know, firefighters saving cats from trees or, you know, 17 kids are transitioning from boys to girls in Shawnee Mission schools this year. Like, I mean, real news that people care about that impacts our lives. If this balloon had made it to Missouri, you think the Kansas City Star would have done some reporting on it if a bunch of you up in northern Missouri were like, hey, there's this balloon that's floating over the top of us? They would have been like, yeah, what a bunch of cranks up there in northern Missouri. They, you know, a bunch of lunatic rubes. They don't know what they're seeing and what they're talking about. What do you mean a balloon, a Chinese spy balloon? What are you guys talking about, you crazies? That's what they would have said. But hey, Billings, Montana local media made this a story, and they deserve credit for that. Carl, Independence. Go ahead, Carl. Good morning.
Hi, Pete. Yeah, I'm. This whole thing stinks.
Oh, thanks, Carl.
All right. If you want to bring down a balloon, what do? You put a pinhole in it and you let it leak. Instead, what they did was they waited till it got it over an ocean, hit it with a Sidewinder missile, that's a couple $100,000, and drop it in the ocean where you'll never find it. Mm-hmm. Instead, when it's over Montana or someplace open, of course, we sent an interceptor up to see what it was. That's the official story. He put a short burst of 20 millimeter in it, put some holes in it. It floats down over open country, and if it looks like it's going to hit anything, you use jet wash and helicopter prop wash to drop it in some open field. Then we've got the whole package. We analyze the whole thing, and the Chinese have something to say. Oh, it just sprung a leak. We don't know what happened.
Hey, Carl, what do you think about running the Pentagon instead of Lloyd Austin? How's that sound to you, my man?
Me running the Pentagon?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're well-versed as anybody I've heard talk about this, and I don't trust Lloyd Austin as far as I could throw him.
I'd rather go back to junior high.
Thank you very much, Carl. Fred in Overland Park. Go ahead, Fred. Good morning.
Okay, we know the real reason. The entire planet knows the real reason it wasn't taken care of sooner. We all know that Joe got a call. Joey, son, you do remember that we own you. You are our biatch. You do what we say.
All right. Well, maybe that. Listen, there's no.
I had that one on my card. Can I go home? That word on my card today.
There's no doubt that when it comes to Hunter's sketchy business dealings in China, that is a legitimate concern in talking about how that could impact old Joe Boy's dealings with the Chi-Coms. That is very much true. But I can't say with any kind of certainty. It was funny, Fred, but I can't say with any kind of certainty that that actually is what's going on here, John.
Well, it did get Hunter's laptop off the front page, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe he made a phone call. Hey, the big guy says he wants a balloon.
He wants to look like a tough guy. He wants to let the balloon float across all the lower 48 and then he's going to shoot it down over the Carolinas. All right, whatever he wants. Sure, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Now, speaking of all this, this is really interesting because we got the State of the Union tomorrow night. So I don't know how this is all going to tie together. I would imagine this should be the lead of the State of the Union. I'm not a speechwriter. I can pretend to be one. If I'm writing the State of the Union, this is my lead. Even if it's not true, my lead is portraying a tough guy attitude on the Chinese Communist Party, if I'm Joe Biden tomorrow night. I don't want to hear about waxing poetic about whatever your initiative is at the moment and how bad Republicans are. If you want to give a good State of the Union that is mildly unifying, I'm not expecting a lot on that front, but I would hope, as an American, that the one thing we can unify around as a country is that we will not tolerate Chinese spy balloons. If we can't unify around that, then I'm losing hope quickly. It's not gone. I'm not lost hope in America, but if we can't all agree on this, I'll be a lot more pessimistic than I was even a week ago. So I would hope that that's where the speech starts. After that, of course, we're going to get all the song and dance and pomp and circumstance around how great the president has done when it comes to the job that he's doing. But what's really interesting is to hear the people in charge try to explain why Biden's job approval still is underwater, why he's not popular. Listen to Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Transportation Secretary, try to explain on Meet the Press yesterday that Biden really, he's really a lot more popular than the American people give him credit for. They just don't understand all the great things he's done for them.
He's got a lot of things to tout. Why do you think that it has not penetrated the American public?
Look, these things don't sell themselves, and it's one of the reasons I'm really looking forward to that State of the Union address. I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
Oh, my good. You have got to be kidding me. My goodness.
Such a cute sound, by
the way. Yeah. Come again? Say that one more. Oh, the accomplishments have been, the accomplishments, so many. Can't keep track of all the accomplishments, says Mayor Pete. It can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
Also, that is the same thing as saying, don't get me started.
Yeah.
Right? The typical response when you get, so name some, don't get me started.
Oh, boy, we don't have time, Chuck. You know, it's only a five-minute segment. Come on now, Chuck. That is such an arrogant, insulting way to speak to the American people. Basically, what Mayor Pete, and he's really a voice of the woke elites, what Mayor Pete is saying there is, the American people are too dumb. You are too dumb to understand how many great things Joe Biden has done. Now, Republicans can't really run with this, though, because they're not popular either. Like, they had a chance to wipe out in the House of Representatives an unpopular president and in the Senate, and they actually lost seats in the Senate and barely won the House. So Republicans can't be one to sit there and crow about how unpopular Joe is, because unfortunately, because of their own screw-ups, they're not all that popular either. And they've only got themselves to blame in large part for that. But putting all that aside, being told by these people in charge right now, and this guy, Transportation Secretary, it's difficult to list them in a distilled. Oh, man. Oh, boy. It's just, there's so many good things happening. American people can't keep up. I get it. They're busy. But please spare me that. Do not insult our intelligence with that. Please don't. Coming up next here on KCMO Talk Radio, Kansas City Star. Well, they're pushing some propaganda on the new airport terminal. It's set to open up here in a couple of weeks. I'm actually willing to buy some of it, but it's just gone a little too far. I'll explain it next on KCMO Talk Radio. I'm actually going to buy. I never do this. You guys know that. You've been listening to this show for 7 minutes. You know that. I'm never going to buy a lot of the Kansas City Star propaganda, because most of it is just that, left-wing propaganda. But they wrote an editorial, and when I agree, I will say as much that I actually agree with about the new airport terminal. So we got the new airport opening up, February 28th. The new airport terminal is going to be opening up 3 weeks from tomorrow. By the way, I'm going to be out of town the 19th. I don't know. I'm not going to give you the exact dates yet, but I'll be flying back to Kansas City on the 25th. So I'm going to be one of the last folks flying in to the old airport, which I'm intrigued by. What's it going to look like? How much worse can it really get? But anyway, the editorial here from the Kansas City Star reads as follows. Sorry to see the convenient old KCI airport terminals go, ? You really shouldn't be. And they go on to make the case that, you know, the old airport is dingy. It's not set up for the 21st century, for a post-9/11 world. It was time to modernize it. It was good for what it was at the time. But obviously now with security, trying to find something to eat, everything else, it just doesn't work. And I agree with that. I don't really care about the aesthetics. Like, that's not as much of an interest to me. But there's no doubt that the airport was good for what it was 50 years ago. But in a post-9/11 environment, it just doesn't work. And we're about 15 years late to the party here on all this. I agree with everything they laid out. And I'm willing to buy the fact that this will be an asset for the Kansas City community over the next generation. Because when you think about businesses, you think about prospective employees coming to Kansas City for the first time. That's the first thing they see. It's not downtown. It's not barbecue. It's not a Chiefs game. The first thing anybody sees when they review Kansas City for their business or for their own family's future, if they're not from here, is the airport. Now, you may say, I don't want anybody. I don't. We're a gem here, and a lot of people don't know about us. We're not getting the Austin, Texas, or the Nashville treatment. Let's keep it that way. I agree. I do. I understand that feeling. I don't want to become the People's Republic of Kansas City, although it's, you know, depending on the day, getting closer and closer to that anyway, without all the transplants from California coming here. Just look at, you know, Johnson County and the city council in Kansas City, Missouri, and you can certainly make that case on a given day. But still, what you do want is you do want the best and brightest from a business perspective doing business here. That's good for all of us. That's good for the small business owner. It allows them to grow. That's good for the bigger business owners because they can grow as well. And I do think that airport is basically the entryway to any city. And one of the biggest things, and I'm glad the Kansas City Star notes this, one of the biggest misconceptions is, well, it's so easy. Once you get up there, you just like get out of the car and you walk right in and, oh boy, you're at your gate in 2 minutes. Okay. As somebody who has done this dozens of times with two little kids in and out of that airport, if you get dropped off and you walk in to Southwest, Delta, wherever it might be, depending on which terminal you're in, and you have to walk from one side of the concourse to the other to get to the security, and then you have to get through security and then walk all the way back across the concourse in Terminal B or C, since A is shut down, to get to your gate, that is not the 75-foot walk that it was billed at from door to gate back in, you know, the 70s when the thing was built. I'm looking at it. They got a, it's like 70, it says here, 75-foot walk from curbside to jetway. This is when the airport came up. And it's a drawing, a rendering of, you know, how easy it was going to be. It's not like that anymore. And I say that as someone who has to drag two little kids around, that if you're at the wrong gate and you go to an inconvenient place to walk into security, you are walking just as far, if not further, than you're going to walk in this new terminal. Where, of course, it's a basically a sideways H. You're going to walk in. It's going to be all the check-ins there. And then you're going to walk down, you know, to where all the gates are. And basically a sideways H, an upside down H, if you want to think about it like that. It may be a 5 to 7 minute walk. Yes, it will be. And there are times, depending on where your gate is at the old KCI, where it can be done in 3 to 4 minutes. But it also can take you quite a bit longer if you get the wrong gate and you go to the wrong security checkpoint, and then you're waiting a while. So I do think that there's this, you know, reimagining what the current airport is based on what many people want it to be. And that has not been my experience at all. And don't forget this as well, because this continues to get brought up. This is not like the Royal Stadium. A lot of you have pointed out that, Pete, you're rightfully skeptical of the Royals potentially building a downtown ballpark, but you're all in on the airport. Well, we know the Royals are asking for your tax money. They need your tax money in Kansas City and or Jackson County and who knows where else, possibly at the state level. The airport is paid for by the airlines. They bundle all the costs of their new airports all over the country into their ticket prices. That's what they do. This is not something that the taxpayer of Kansas City is chipping in for. They bundle it, and you're paying already for new airports all over the country. You know, just don't know it. They just factor that cost into the ticket price already. That's what they're doing. So this is not about, well, you know, I don't want the new airport, and I don't want to pay for it. Well, the best thing you can do to never have to pay indirectly for the new airport is to just never use it. And by the way, that sounds pretty good with the way the airlines are operating these days. I mean, if I could do that, I would do it. But we can't all do it.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
But unfortunately, but that's the way that you don't pay for it. But just know if you fly at all, you're already paying for new airports all over the country because that's how these airlines operate. That's what they do. They bundle these things together and then they end up paying for it that way. Pete Mundo on KCMO.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.